If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped death at the hands of the Manson family? But what about the real-life brutal murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
President Trump imposes a 25% tariff on all steel and aluminum imports, while Fed Chair Jay Powell cautions against acting too quickly to change interest rates, emphasizing that current monetary policy is adequate given the strong economy. I'm Andy Gersher, and this is Gains. All right, we're talking tariffs, Fed policy. Let's bring on J.J. Kinahan, CEO of IG North America and president of Tasty Trade here in Chicago. J.J., always great to have you on the Gains podcast.
Well, thanks, Andy. It's always a pleasure to be here with you.
The tariffs are on, you know, as mentioned in the lead on steel and aluminum, and then also Fed Chair Jay Powell talking monetary policy. What's your takeaway, JJ, so far this week?
I would say that, you know, the tariffs, it's funny. I look at U.S. Steel. Obviously, they're in play to get, you know, for some people talking about buying them, et cetera, but it's higher on the day. So, and then you look at some of the consumer companies, and they are, you know, doing okay today. Also, you look at the overall market, although we were kind of all over the place early in the day, pretty muted day overall. So there may not be as much nervousness as people originally thought around that.
So the headlines really aren't the market mover right now. Where do you think markets are technically? And I know that you look at markets from that lens as well. So, I mean, from a technical standpoint, where are markets if the headlines aren't moving it?
Yeah, so I think that there's a few things moving it or not moving it, if you will. Even before the technical levels, what I'll say is Chairman Powell was up on Capitol Hill today. He'll be there again tomorrow. So I think that one of the reasons we were unchanged is he just didn't say a lot. Very guarded, and as he usually is. And I think that so people want to see, okay, does tomorrow change that narrative? And I wouldn't expect it necessarily to change that narrative overall. You know, we're up right near 6,100 right now, you know, so we're at, well, it's actually 6,068 and a half is where the SPX or S&P 500 cash closed today. So we did get above 6,100 recently, you know, last month. And I think that that's something that the markets, those of you who are bullish, you'd want to see us close above that level a couple of days in a row in order for us to take on the next level, if you will, and to start to set a base to go higher. And I think for those of you who are, you know, nervous to the downside, just holding 6,000. So I know, you know, that's a pretty wide range and very round numbers, but I think for the average person playing at home, you're probably not going to remember, you know, like 60, 98, 32. So I think thinking 6,100 to the upside, 6,000 to the downside right now is a pretty good way to think about things for the short term.
Which side of the ledger are you on? Are you bullish right now or are you trending bearish?
Well, you know, earnings drive markets, and right now the earnings season has been a pretty good one overall. And so I think if we can continue down that front, it's hard to fade this market overall. I think the interesting part of what we go to next will be the retail sector and what happens there. But you know, technology. I won't say a mixed bag. It was actually pretty decent overall. Still a lot of questions around AI and how these firms are going to monetize it. And then you had some of the old school Dow stocks actually doing pretty nicely the last couple of days. You know, McDonald's.
Yes, McDonald's even coming in with not great earnings, but the market liked it a little bit, saw some growth in the right areas. Yeah, I was going to talk about that. You're getting a little broadening of some of the decent results. McDonald's, another one that came to mind is Coca-Cola. Go ahead, JJ.
Absolutely. I mean, I think you're hitting right on it, Andy, is that it's a broadening of the stocks. And, you know, to not just technology, but sort of, I'll call them old line businesses and consumers coming in. You know, McDonald's, I was joking with a friend of mine today, maybe it's just the start of Shamrock Shake season that got them going. But overall, you know.
Well, it's let's go back to that. Shamrock Shake season, there might be something to it, and we're tongue in cheek, but pulling the old mascot or the old Green Grimace mascot to help hawk the shakes this year, not a bad move. And we're seeing a ton of buzz, and McDonald's really being innovative and creative in their promotions. They do it like no one else. Go ahead, continue.
Well, you know where else they're creative, Andy, is where I was going to go, and you know, you set the table well for me. They've been creative in pricing. And in a time where we're seeing, you know, inflation really affect the average family and, you know, the amount of times people can get McDonald's with their kids, et cetera, they've really done a great job, in my opinion, of saying, okay, how can we'll change what makes up the meal and still have people get, you know, feel they're getting a sense of value for their money, so that it's not breaking the bank, if you will, in terms of where they go there. I don't know if you saw the Wall Street Journal yesterday had a really excellent article about how Disney is struggling with that in terms of, you know, the average family being able to afford it. And what I think McDonald's has done a really good job of is constantly getting ahead of rising costs to keep their product affordable.
Yeah, that's I did see that article on Wall Street or in the Wall Street Journal on Disney. I mean, basically saying that going to Disney has actually become prohibitive for an overwhelming number of families, and that's a problem.
Absolutely. You know, when you feel like you have to take a loan to go on vacation, A, that's a terrible use of money, and B, that's just not good for a company's long-term health. So again, that's why I think what McDonald's has done is impressive, because they've continued to get out ahead of it. Then we also talked about Coca-Cola. You know, Coca-Cola turn around in their case deliveries from a -1% to an up 2% this quarter. And so this is, you know, where in the world can you go where people don't know Coca-Cola, yet they still continue to get organic growth? And then, you know, on a side note, they're doing things like milk. Who would associate that with Coca-Cola? So one of the things that really impresses me, we talk about these technology stocks and all they're doing, and obviously they are doing amazing stuff with AI, et cetera. You can't underestimate when these old line companies are also doing breakthrough thinking in terms of how they market their products. And that's why it's tough for me to not be bullish, because the, hey, let's think differently, how do we deliver our product, is, you know, coming across good companies no matter what the business they may be in.
And then talking about another, you know, we've talked about technology and that's been a driver for a while, but you're talking about old school, starting to see some movement in the likes of IBM. Pretty decent month or so after pretty good results recently. I'm thinking Cisco Systems, another. So some of those tech laggers also getting in on the action. Explain.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, well, you know, Cisco Systems, I think what people realize, and a little bit maybe to a lesser extent for IBM, is you have all this great AI technology, you still need networks. And, you know, that's where they've been able to come across and do well. One of the things that I also like about, you know, I'm not saying people should necessarily listen to earnings calls, et cetera, but reading the Cisco systems, it's one of the companies I always read at least their call, because they're so worldwide. They have their fingers everywhere in terms of what's going on. They really have a good pulse of the economies worldwide. And so, you know, again, these AI companies having to use them has really led to a resurgence, if you will, in their value overall. And they are very bullish on much of the world, which, again, you know, for those who are saying I have a little longer term view, I think it's a really interesting earnings call to read what they have to say for different areas of the world.
Talking a lot of good stuff, but JJ, what's the biggest threat to financial markets right now?
I think the biggest threat right now is going to continue to be a bit of inflation and just uncertainty. And what I mean by that is, if I look at what's going on in the bond market, where you have yields higher 4 days in a row, yet some of that with the market's doing okay. So, you know, again, for those who aren't as astute, perhaps, or just newer to how fixed income works, yields go up when bonds go down. So you're seeing the, you know, people selling bonds. And so, again, not necessarily a huge worry, except 4 days in a row, you start to take notice pretty quickly and just say, why is it that people don't want to hold bonds, or why do they feel that they may have to get a higher yield in order to continue to hold bonds? So I do think that that is something that could be a little bit worrying going forward. And certainly I have my eye on that. And the last thing being, as rates go up to fight inflation, we've seen prices be pretty stubborn overall, Andy. We've seen them come over in certain areas, but particularly in the foodstuffs. You know, we talked about that a bit with McDonald's. You continue to see a very, very stubborn price points. And again, I think that that's an area to be a bit nervous on. The area you have to watch, I think, is the price of crude oil, which leads to the price of gasoline at the pump. And that's the first area that usually affects most people's pocketbooks.
All right, we're going to hit JJ up with a couple investment ideas in a second, but we got to take a quick break. Hey, be sure to subscribe, follow, leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcast. If that's an option for you, I've been told that's podcast gold. Totally appreciate the solid there. And as always, subscribe and turn on those notifications so you know when a new Gains episode drops. We drop Gains episodes on Wednesday mornings. We'll be right back with JJ after the break. Back with JJ Kinahan, CEO of IG North America and president of Tasty Trade here in Chicago. So JJ, let's take a look at what you like in the market, some investment ideas, where you're deploying cash. What's on your hot list?
Well, I think the stock that today really stood out to me, and, you know, I don't normally say, hey, you should bottom feed or anything like that, but the stock that really took it on the chin today, I think more than maybe even deserved, was Tesla. Tesla down 6.5% today. And so that's one that drew my attention pretty immediately. Like, okay, I know the stock was due for some kind of a sell-off, but this puts us back to levels not seen since, you know, really late November, early December.
Love it. And I love that. I'm with you on that. The ticker TSLA. You know, again, I'm always a little reluctant to catch the falling knife, but I don't think this is one of them. I love picking up Tesla at these levels. And like you said, this is actually a bit of an opportunity. Expand.
It really is. I mean, you've taken it back. I think people are saying, okay, it's just back to the levels it was when we had the election. And again, that's one that I think is pretty interesting going forward. And the other stock that is not a falling knife, but is coming off what I think is a falling knife, might be Nike.
Oh, yes. That's another one. NKE, the ticker on that. Been a lagger for a while. Go ahead. I don't want to steal the thunder on this
No,
one.
I'm sorry. Not at all. It's just, it's an ugly chart, Andy. Anybody who looks at it, yeah, you know, since, I guess, October, it's pretty much straight down. You know, back then it was trading 92. Now it's trading at 71.35 on the close today. But, you know, the new CEO has a turnaround plan. I will say this, you know, one of the things I like to do when you and I talk about these stocks is give sort of a shorter term and a longer term. I think Tesla can fall in as a short-term rebound or a longer-term nice play if people like it that way. But to me, if you're going in for Nike, you're saying I have a little bit of a longer time horizon because it's a turnaround plan. Turnaround plans take a while.
Yes, and you know the one thing about Nike, it does seem like they've gotten a little oversaturated. But again, you're buying Nike in the 70s, which is right. Just dirt cheap. I mean, just kind of give you an idea. That was like $150+ stock not too long ago. And at least when you're buying Nike, it's not like it's some, you know, risky turnaround play. I mean, it is the dominant global leader of athletic apparel, so it's not going to go anywhere. And I'm with you on that one. Tesla, the quick turnaround and probably a nice longer-term play. But I see Nike, and I'm with you on this. This is going to take a while before things start turning around. But, you know, you are buying a very, very powerful company that's really kind of cheap right now.
Well, you're buying a brand just like you do with Coca-Cola or McDonald's, as we talked about earlier. I mean, that's part of what you're buying is a brand, and that brand has been pretty tarnished. So, you know, again, I think that's a little bit of what you have to look at, too.
And there's a lot of competition in that space, even over the, especially yeah. over the last, like, 20 years. So it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see if Nike goes out and makes some kind of purchase as well. That may be an answer to their solution as well. But anyway, what else are you seeing? AI was just the dominant leader for years. I'm thinking of NVIDIA, some of the high flyers. Where do you see that space going now?
Well, it's tough to fade NVIDIA overall. It was interesting. You know, Intel got the boost today. You know, there's a stock that we certainly haven't discussed much in the last couple of years, except in not good terms. That stock's up over 6% today, again, with, you know, J.D. Vance getting involved there. So people pretty excited about that. And I think that when I look at that, you know, when I look at anything in that type of area, the stock that our clients certainly always turn to in times of trouble, and it's a stock that's had a rough little go the last couple of weeks, is Microsoft. It's just, you know, they're involved in so many different areas, and they have so much cash to spend, and I think people underestimate that. You know, you and I talked about IBM earlier and some of these stocks that are suddenly coming up. At Microsoft, I think sometimes still gets underrated in how innovative they are. And they have obviously this legacy, you know, products that are amazing, but they are also an incredibly innovative company. I never, ever underestimate what they can do for a longer term. And, you know, back to your point earlier, this is a stock that was trading almost $4.50 less than a month ago, and now it closes today at $4.11.44. It just seems hard for me to believe that the stock is worth almost 10% less than it was a month ago.
Agreed. Two other areas, energy, and then I wanted to talk about healthcare. Chevron's one of my picks here, kind of like buying it, I believe, on the cheap. Thoughts on the energy complex? Are you in agreement with that, or where do you stand on energy?
Again, I think energy is one where you're probably holding it a little bit. One thing to keep in mind, the price of crude, these companies are so reliant on them. So in a way, you're synthetically always going to be buying crude oil if you buy, you know, a BP or a Chevron or whatever it may be. So as long as you understand that, I don't think they're bad investments at all, especially as we said, with crude in the lower 70s, and we know that it's been trading between 70 and 80 for most of the year overall. So that seems like nice. One where I'd pick my time horizon also.
Yeah, and the nice thing about those is you get a pretty good dividend, so you do get yes. paid a little bit to hold that. And then on the healthcare front, the one I've been really kind of dollar cost averaging on, and I've been talking about this, is the Amgens, the J&Js. They've had a rough go. Wanted to see your thoughts on healthcare, on, say, a J&J or an Amgen.
Well, J&J is one that I think particularly is appealing. You know, just as you and I talked about, again, some of these old school names and how they've been able to continue to reinvent themselves. You know, the one thing about J&J, the only thing I would say that may make some people a little bit nervous, they've had an incredible 2025 already, Andy. And I think that, you know, this is a stock that's up almost 10% on the year so far. So it's really been a nice little runner early in the year, but they you know, continue to come out with good numbers, and one that I would never, ever sort of underestimate. And then the other healthcare stock, now it's a little bit pricier stock, but I think worth people taking a look at is United Healthcare. You know, again, some of the healthcare stocks, again, depending on legislation, that is the risk you're taking here. So I want to be very honest about that. But this is a stock that just in, you know, December, at the very beginning of December, was trading almost $622. It's trading $533.92 on the close today. So one of those that you are taking a little bit of a risk, but we know it's a pretty solid company overall long term.
So, JJ, as we wrap up today's Gains podcast, I mean, what's the takeaway? We've talked about the broadening of the market and we've talked about risk, but what's the final takeaway, JJ, for the Gains listener today?
Well, I think the takeaway is, you know, I always, as a retail trader, don't be all in or all out on anything. But what the market's telling us right now is it seems to be pretty comfortable with these levels. We, even on the sell-offs, we haven't had big volatility explosions. We haven't had people coming in to buy bonds. And again, when people come in to buy bonds, it's usually in a time of nervousness when they're reallocating money from equities. And what one of the other reasons I'm kind of, you know, I'm comfortable here and think we do have a good opportunity to go higher. I always call it the coffee party or the cocktail party meter. And that is, you know, you're not hearing people at cocktail parties saying I have to be in stocks. You're just not feeling this overwhelming need that people feel like I have to buy stocks. And to me, that's always a time when stocks can continue higher. So I look at the low volatility, demand that is reasonable, and, you know, a bond market that is not splashing any warning signs that people are super nervous about feeling to sell stocks so they have to put their money anywhere. And it gives you a recipe for us to continue to go higher.
JJ, being a contrarian, I love that nugget about people not overly excited about stocks at cocktail parties, because when they're really talking about it in a big way at cocktail parties, it's often the top. Big thanks to JJ Kinahan, CEO of IG North America and president of Tasty Trade here in Chicago. Hey, be sure to subscribe, follow, leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. I've been told that's podcast gold. Totally appreciate the solid there. And as always, subscribe and turn on those notifications so you know when a new Gains episode drops. We drop Gains episodes on Wednesday mornings, and I look forward to seeing you then.
A News Radio WBBM podcast, powered by Odyssey.